Our study tonight is out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Catholicism's worldly papal ministry versus Christ's heavenly ministry. A number of members of our church have come from Roman Catholic backgrounds, and they often seek support in biblical truth to counter the strong errant indoctrination they experienced in their past. The Epistle to the Hebrews was written to counter the errant traditionalism of first century Judaism that was similar in theological thrust to much of Catholicism. So we study Hebrews for edification in this matter. The author of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 8 contrasted Judaism's inferior earthly priestly ministries to Christ's heavenly priesthood. It applies to the contrast of Catholicism's worldly papal ministry versus Christ's heavenly high priestly ministry. So we study the passage for our insight, our application, and edification. I want to read the chapter and then we'll look at it. Just 13 verses long. Hebrews chapter 8. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown to thee on the mount. But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should not no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. And that he saith a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. The Roman Catholic Church borrowed from ancient Rome's emperor his role as the high priest of the heathen religion, and hence he was called Pontifex Maximus. That's actually what they referred to the Roman emperor. He was the high priest of that pagan religion. And as the high priest of the Old Testament was the mediator between God and men, so the Pope also claims to be the mediator between God and men. He's called the vicar of Christ. Vicar is short for vicarious. Vicarious is substitute. We talk about the vicarious work of Christ on the cross. Christ died as our substitute. The Pope is seen as the substitute for God on earth. However, the papacy is very worldly in its orientation. Dr. Bachner, in his book Roman Catholicism, says, The Pope wears a jewel-laden, extremely expensive crown. In solemn ceremonies, the Pope is carried on a portable chair on the shoulders of 12 men. The Pope is adored with genuflections, and his garments are very elaborate and costly. He lives in luxury with many servants in a huge palace in Vatican City. He is just like a king, with his own country, his own system of courts, his vassals, coinage, postal service, and a Swiss military guard. The Pope sends ambassadors and ministers to foreign governments, and in each country to which a papal ambassador is sent, Rome seeks to have her ambassador designated as the dean of the diplomatic corps, thus giving him rank above other ambassadors. In contrast, the high priestly ministry of Jesus Christ has a vastly superior heavenly orientation. Christ, our high priest, is set on the right hand of the throne of God the Father in the heavens. That's what he says. And now God the Father is here, is called the Majesty. And the Jews, out of respect, often wouldn't refer to God with the term God. They would refer to the Majesty or the Mighty One or something. It was out of respect. They never wanted to use the name of God in vain. So they would use these synonyms, replacements for him. But the throne of the Majesty is the throne of God the Father. He is a minister of the sanctuary and the original true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not men. Notice verse 2, minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not men. There is a true tabernacle in heaven. It was pitched. In fact, when Moses was on the mount, he saw that, and the Lord says, okay, you make the tabernacle here on the earth after the pattern that you saw on the mount. And that's the tabernacle into which Christ entered. And he took his blood after he died as the high priest, our high priest. He went in there and he brought his blood, and satisfied the righteous demands of God. Every high priest on earth, according to the law, is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices, so it is necessary for Christ as our high priest in heaven to offer sacrifices. However, were Christ on earth, since he is of the tribe of Judah, not of the priestly tribe of Levi and of the line of Aaron, he would not be able to offer such sacrifices. However, the earthly Aaronic priest served as a copy and as a shadow of the heavenly ministry of the Lord Jesus. For when Moses was about to erect the Old Testament tabernacle, God told him to make everything according to the heavenly pattern that was shown to him on Mount Sinai. God did that in Exodus chapter 25, verse 40. Be sure that you make it after the pattern that you saw on the Mount Sinai. So Christ has obtained a more excellent ministry than the earthly Aaronic line of high priests. For he's the mediator of a better covenant that was based on a better divine set of promises in verse 6. The first covenant was faulty, so it's being replaced with a better covenant. For God promised that in the better covenant he would make with Israel and with the house of Judah, it would differ from the old covenant he had made when he led Israel out of Egypt. For in that older covenant, the people failed to keep the law for divine blessing. The law was given externally, but it wasn't written on the heart, and the heart of the people wasn't really right with the Lord. And as a result of that, there was a problem. This is why when Moses was on the mount for 40 days, the people came to Aaron, Moses' brother, and said, "What's happened to Moses? We don't know, but make us another god." So Aaron made a golden calf, and the people were worshiping the golden calf when Moses was up on the mount talking with the Lord, and the clouds there. It's just amazing how quickly they went into idolatry. But they didn't have the law of God written on the heart. That was a problem. That's the problem with the old covenant. Indeed, the new covenant, given in Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, would involve God's putting his commandments not on external tables of stone, as at Mount Sinai, but as putting his laws into the mind, writing them on the hearts of his people, that he would then be to them a God and they as people in truth. Now, that actually is going to be fulfilled for Israel in the millennial kingdom. But it's actually fulfilled for us as believers when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The Spirit of God is put within us. And there's a desire, there's an innate desire through the Holy Spirit to want to obey God and to love the Lord and to serve Him. And when we are fellowshipping with the Lord, that attitude comes out. Well, in the new covenant, they would no longer teach each other that they should know the Lord, for all of them would know the Lord. That, of course, that's going to be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. From the least to the greatest of them, in Hebrews 8:11, God would be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities he would remember no more. Thus, this new covenant necessarily does away with the former and the inferior covenant. The high priestly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ is a heavenly ministry that far surpasses the Aaronic high priestly ministries of the law. For Christ's ministry affects the heart through the new birth, where the Aaronic ministry dealt only with the external copies of the heavenly ministry of Christ that was to come. So may we look to Christ's heavenly high priestly ministry, not to man's futile earthly priesthoods. Whether it's the Aaronic priesthood, which God had instituted, but it was an external one, and he's replaced, or the high priest, in fact, the Roman Catholic Pope is called essentially the high priest of the Pontifex Maximus of the Catholic Church. But Jesus is our high priest, and we can go directly to him, and we serve a Lord who is in heaven, he's with the Father, and he's always living to make intercession for his people, for our weaknesses, for our sins, and he's always there around the clock. The Pope isn't there around the clock. The Lord Jesus is. You can pray to him 2:30 in the morning. And, of course, if you're praying to him 2:30 in the morning, people in China are praying to him in broad daylight, or this, 2:30 in the afternoon. But he's always available. So we have a vastly superior high priest, and we need to rejoice in that and live for the Lord.